Good morning, all you beautiful people. Today's scripture reading is from Mark 7, verses 14 to 23. And if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, it is on page 1564. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Here ends the scripture reading. This is God's holy word. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lois, for reading scripture for us this morning. Joe, as always, thank you for helping to lead us in worship. As we continue with Mark here, we come to yet another passage that if we weren't preaching through the book consistently, this is not really a passage that's on the top 10 list of things that preachers want to preach on. This is not a feel-good necessarily message in and of itself. This is Jesus being very straightforward and in some respects very hard-hitting. This is Jesus being honest. And as Mark has included this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he's included this in Scripture, clearly it's something that Jesus wants us to hear. It's something that God the Father, in instructing his Son through the Holy Spirit, worked in the heart of Jesus to speak to the people of the time. And then the same Spirit of God inspired Mark to record it. And the same Spirit of God has sustained his word for the past 2,000 years so that we might read it this morning. God is intimately interested in us understanding and reading and rolling around in this passage. How does that make you feel? Trish and I just recently purchased a pop-up camper. Many of you have probably seen it as you're driving in and you walk in the church and there's this pop-up camper out there, and we've had it popped up since we got it. We're airing it out and trying to figure stuff out. And as we purchased this pop-up camper, I realized in very short order that I didn't do enough research on this said pop-up camper. And I'm realizing day by day that I don't know how the thing works. Finding out, it seems like on a daily basis, something new about it, and I'm looking up these blogs, and I'm looking up these what do they call these things where people go on there and write and all that kind of stuff, and they answer questions, and all forums and all that type of stuff, and half the time I don't understand a word that they're saying, and half the time I'm kind of getting it, but what I'm coming to the realization of is that I don't know how that thing works. And the more I realize I don't know how that thing works, the more agitated I seem to get over the fact that I don't know how that thing works. What's next? And so now I'm in the process of reaching out to people and asking questions of people who have one so that I can try and figure out how the goofy thing works. Tomorrow I'm going to have to make a phone call to a dealership and start asking questions in the maintenance department, like, well, why don't the lights turn on? Why is there no power to this thing right now? Is that a problem? So I'm learning how the thing works, we have an infatuation, whether you're an engineer or not, and we have a couple engineers in here today, and maybe even some listening online. One of the things that's unique about engineers is they're very interested, generally speaking, in how things work. If you were to ask them what they did as children, I would be willing to bet that, based on my conversations, I was the kid who pushed play and listened to the radio. The engineer is the guy over there who is taking it apart to see why it works when you push play. Right? They're just built a little bit differently. Engineers and people in general, in many respects, do have an interest in how things work. If you are questioning this, consider what happens when someone's car, while driving Route 8, begins to sputter and spit and smoke, and they pull off the side of the road, and the first thing they think of is, what's wrong, right? They want to know what's wrong. How is this not working? How does it work? And then if you get a couple guys in there, lady, or generally it's a couple guys that do this. Women are too smart to do this. Let's say the car's broken down the side of the road and it's smoking, all that kind of stuff, and what do? They get out of the car and they go, they pop the hood, they walk over, they raise the hood up, and then they just sit there and they look at it. Right? Like they're going to discuss something with the car itself. Right? Like, hey, now you have to explain to me what's wrong with you. Right? They have no idea how it works, but they're curious about how it works and why it is that it's not working. Right? So they're just sitting there looking at the car. We do have an interest by nature in how things work. In this passage, Jesus is intimately interested in telling us how we work. And the funny thing is this. Much like the guys standing around looking at the car, puzzled as to how this thing works, we too stand around oftentimes looking at ourselves or looking at each other, not really knowing how we work. But Jesus is very interested in this passage in explaining to us how we work, how we do, how God made us. And the reason why he wants to explain that to us is because it's incredibly important for us to realize not only how we work, but how we were made to work, and what reference that has to the Lord. What difference does that make in relationship to the Lord? But the people, the audience who Jesus is talking to, has it turned upside down, and I would declare to you that we also get it turned upside down. Our natural default is to get how we work turned upside down, backwards. Turned around backwards. We got the negative cable on the positive, we got the positive on the negative, and all of a sudden things just don't work anymore. So, let's jump in. As we recall from last week, Jesus is having a discussion, a debate with the scribes and the Pharisees as to what makes someone unclean. And in the estimation of the Pharisees and the scribes, the thing that makes someone unclean or defiled or not suitable for worship of God, not suitable for relationship with God, is that one of the things that they believe is that if you don't wash your hands well enough and you have unclean hands and then you go eat food with unclean hands, by nature that defiles you. It's a defiling act. Defiling there means to put you on the outskirts of relationship with God, not being able to relate to him, not being able to have a relationship with him, and also then on the outskirts of not being able to have a relationship with God's people. That's the idea. And so for the Pharisees, they have this understanding that if you don't wash your hands well enough, or if you don't wash a dining couch well enough, or if you don't wash a pot and a pan well enough, it's all externals. If you don't do these external things just right, you'll be defiled. You won't be able to do it right. You won't be able to do religion correctly if you don't have all these externals done correctly. And Jesus explains to them that this stuff is passed down not from God's word, but from the traditions that man tends to make. And man has this desire, insatiable appetite for putting tradition over God's word. Man has an appetite for doing that. They want to put his word, his tradition, over God's word. That's what Jesus says in the first part of this chapter, verses 1 through 13. That's what he's saying. So that's what they're doing. And now in verses 14 through 23, Jesus is going to talk about why they're doing it. Why they're doing it. Where does this appetite to put the traditions of man over God's word come from? Where does that come from? And how is it that that has things upside down, topsy-turvy? So Jesus has debated with the Pharisees and the scribes. We're not sure if the Pharisees and the scribes have left by this time, by verse 14, but in verse 14, Mark records this, and he, Jesus, called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear all you and understand." Just pause right there. The fact that Mark makes note that Jesus called the people to himself, calling them around himself, is significant. Jesus wants to call people to himself so that they might understand something that he has to tell them. He's purposefully calling them to himself. Gather around me, and I want you to listen, and I want you to understand. How many of us have ever done this as parents, possibly? When we tell our kids, I've done this in the living room just in this past week, I'll call out, "Hey, everybody get in here right now. Everybody in the living room right now. I need to talk to you guys." Right? Jesus is saying, "Everybody in here right now, I need to talk to you. I have something that you need to understand. You got to understand this. You got to get this. This is imperative. You got to understand this." He says, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing, nothing, you can circle that word in your Bible, nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him." There's nothing outside a person that by going into him defiles him. There is nothing external to a person that by going into them means that they can't have a relationship with God. That's what Jesus is saying here. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. Circle it. Put exclamation points next to it. Nothing that comes from the outside that goes into you excludes you from relationship with God, defiles you. Now, some of you might be saying, "Well, Jess, I understand that. I mean, I eat steak and I eat pork and, you know, I eat things that, you know, the Hebrews would have never eaten, and, you know, I eat Twinkies, and I know that eating a Twinkie is not going to defile me or keep me out of relationship with the Lord." And to some degree, that's understood, yeah? This is not new news for us. However, if you were to turn that around a little bit and say the same thing in a different way, I think it does land on us pretty well. I think it does land on us pretty well. And that is, I'm okay saying that nothing will separate me from God by what I eat or what I drink, but what do I have to do in order to have a relationship with God? Do I have to make sure I clean up my act? Do I have to make sure that I'm a good person? Do I have to make sure that I have all of my P's and Q's in order? Do I have to make sure that I dress a certain way? Do I have to make sure that I have a certain reputation among the people? Do I have to make sure that I'm clean cut and I seem to have all of my life together? Is God expecting me to come to him already in pretty good shape, as if he's buying a used car? Right? He's going to walk around. He's going to kick the tires a little bit, take it for a test drive, see if he really likes it. I don't know if any of you have ever sold a car. One of the things, for whatever reason I do this, every time I sold a car, I always clean it first. I always give it a good clean. Vacuum it out, wipe down the seats, wash off the, you know, give it a washing, because I want to try and make the car look as good as possible to the dealership that I'm selling it to or trading it in or to the private party, right? God is not buying used cars here. He's not interested in you polishing yourself up to make yourself look as good as possible. He knows you. He searches you. He knows everything about you, and yet it doesn't change the reality that he loves you, that he loves you. And he says, I'll take that used car as is, no warranty. I'll take the used car. There's nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but things that come out of a person are what defile him. You guys know what prepositions are, right? Prepositions? In, out, into, on, under, those words. In Scripture, prepositions are tiny little words that hold, they're like nails in a board. And those prepositions hold the full weight of theology. The whole weight of God's word hangs on prepositions. Pay attention to prepositions when you're reading your Bible. Pay attention, circle them. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defiles him. And when he had entered the house, so this is him speaking publicly, and that's all he gives them. That's all he gives them. And so then he walks into the house. Verse 17, when he had entered the house, we don't know whose house this is, maybe Peter's, who knows. He goes into the house, he enters the house, and the people are gone, and his disciples ask him about the parable. Now, at this point in time, I think the disciples are now drawing straws as to who has to ask the question. Because every time it seems like they ask a question, it's a question that Jesus looks at them and says, how do you not understand this? How do you not get this? How many times have I said this? And so, you know, they're drawing straws and boom, 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 and Thomas is like, dang it, I got to ask the question. I don't know if it's Thomas or not, but they said to him, they asked him about the parable in verse 18, and he said to them, then are you also without understanding? I liked how the NIV put it. Are you so dull? Are you so dull that you don't understand this? Isn't it amazing how clearly Jesus speaks? You should know this. This should be intuitive for you. How do you have it turned upside down? How is it that you have this thing so turned upside down? He said, are you without understanding? Do you not see that what goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him? Why, Jesus, why do you say this? Verse 19, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach and is expelled. Now, Jesus is given just a biology lesson here. This is pure biology, period. He's like, do you not understand? You guys have been doing this for a while, right? You eat the food, right? And you know it goes somewhere in here, and then it goes somewhere else, right? You understand that food has a pretty clear path, right? Never makes it into the heart. Now, the food you eat can affect your heart. That's not what he's getting at. But the reality of it is that Jesus is saying that the food you eat has no impact on your heart condition. Your externals do not determine your heart condition. What happens outside of you is not what determines your heart condition, is what Jesus is saying here. And he gets pretty graphic. He gets pretty vulgar, actually. He says this, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and then is expelled. What do you guys have in your Bible? Some say expelled, some say it goes through him, sometimes it goes out of him. The literal word here is it goes into the latrine. Isn't it funny how we kind of like polish over the English version sometimes? If we were to read this literally in Greek, it says it goes out into the latrine. So Jess, where are you going with this? We're going to Ephesus with this. These are public restrooms in Ephesus from 2,000 years ago. This is what a public restroom looked like in the Roman culture. You understand what those are, right? Underneath there would be this running water, this indoor plumbing, which would take things downstream, right? But there you are, and you're sitting there, and you're doing whatever you do, and Jesus is saying that the food that you eat ends up there, not here. They're under the impression that the things that I take in from the outside affect my heart, change my heart, make me defiled. And Jesus is saying, if you think that everything that you do externally makes you okay with God, everything that you do on the outside makes you okay with God, that's latrine theology. That's latrine theology. That doesn't work. You cannot come to God thinking that what you do makes you better for him or more acceptable to him or more desirable to him or more lovely to him. There is nothing you can do, whether it's food or anything else. You can't do anything to make yourself more appeasing, appeasable, desirable to God. Period. Zero. And Jesus is saying, if you think that's the case, that's latrine theology. Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and it is expelled. Thus he declared all foods clean. When you go home, if you want to read Acts 10, verses 9 and forward, you will see how Peter is standing behind Mark as he writes this. Peter has an experience in Acts 10 that makes it back into this passage here as he remembers, oh, that's what Jesus meant when he said that all foods are clean. So I'm not going to go there right now. I don't have time, but if you want to go home and read Acts 10, incredible. And you'll see the tie. You'll see the connection between Mark writing this as Peter is behind Mark writing and an experience that Peter has in Acts 10. Now you might be saying, well, Jess, but what about this saying right here? Haven't we ever heard this before? Money is the what? Source of all evil, the root of all evil. Isn't that something external? Isn't money the root of all evil? How many of us have heard that before? Money is the root of all evil, right? That's an external thing, Jess. Is Jesus contradicting himself? Is the Bible contradicting itself? The answer is no. The actual reference there, as Paul is writing there, is that he says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's not the money itself. It's the love of it, the affection I have for it. If you want to look up an interesting quote on this, I was going to include it in here and I didn't because I didn't know if it was going to be appropriate for our audience today. If you want to look up an interesting quote on this, look up Ice Cube and what he says about this. You guys know who Ice Cube is? He's a rapper. The notorious theologian Ice Cube. Look up the quote that Ice Cube says about this. Incredible. Incredible. Maybe I should have included it. I got smiles out there. Oh, you should have included it. The love of money is the source of all evil. So what does Jesus say next? He says, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, there's another preposition, out of the person, from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Whew, that's a lot. That's not even an exhaustive list. This is just a representative list of the brokenness of the human heart and how it expresses itself in real life, in real relationships. So Jesus wants to say this. He says it's out of the heart that these things come. The Greek word there is cardia. Sound familiar? Cardiologist, right? Out of the heart, these things come. Well, what Jesus is saying here is that the problem of mankind does not exist externally. God made all things what? Good. Genesis 1. And it was good in the garden. Very good in the garden. The problem with man did not start with the externals. The problem with man started with the internals. Internal. The reality of the heart is the problem. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. You ask, what is the heart? And Joseph Thayer says this: the heart is the center and seat of the spiritual life, the soul or mind. It is the fountain and the seat of the thoughts, the passions, the desires, the appetites, the affections, the purposes, the endeavors. The heart is the epicenter of your life. What you desire, what you're passionate about, what you long for, what you hope for, what you find desirable, what you find tasteful, it's the heart. It's the heart. Horst Waltz and Gerhard Schneider, two really good, strong German names there, say this: the cardia, the heart, is the place of the person in which the encounter with God is realized in the positive or negative sense. They either respond positively or negatively, in which religious life has its firm ground and form, and from which the ethical conduct of a person is determined. What they're saying here is that your heart is a harbor. Your heart is a harbor. What do harbors do? Harbors export things. They push things out. They send things out. A harbor is a place. This is Rockport, one of the oldest harbors in the United States, Rockport, Massachusetts. Harbors are places where things come in, but purposefully harbors are where things go out. And Jesus is saying that your heart is a harbor. And whatever your heart, whatever the condition of your heart is, whatever that might be, it exports things. Your heart is continually exporting stuff. Your heart is the epicenter of your life. It's the harbor of your life, and it's continually exporting things. Well, what does Jesus say here? The problem with man's heart. From within, out of the heart, this harbor of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Those are the things that the human heart, in its fallen condition, apart from Christ, will export continually. That's what will come out of the heart, continually. Without exception. Without exception. Pride may find its expression in incredible arrogance or narcissism. It also may find its expression in wanting oneself to look good in front of others. Keeping up an appearance, having a facade, having a desire that people think certain things about you. wanting to have a certain perception about who you are. That's pride also. Being worried about what people think about you to the point where you're really concerned about your reputation. And putting up some kind of view of yourself. That's pride. That's pride. It finds its way out in innumerable ways. But the heart is continually exporting these things. And Jesus says that's what defiles a person. That's what makes someone unable to have a relationship with God. It's that heart. It's that heart. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. How is this connected to the context? This is connected to the context in this way. The traditions of man, the religious traditions of man, can oftentimes be expressions of an evil heart, especially when those traditions begin to counteract or begin to work against the Word of God and the thing that God wants to do. Man can create traditions that actually get in the way of people encountering God. And this happens within religion. Air quotes, religion. Happens within religion. Where the tradition becomes preeminent and God's word becomes subjugated to the tradition. And Jesus says that is an export from the harbor of the heart of man that's evil. It's evil. And that defiles people. When I hold so tightly to a religious tradition or a tradition within a certain denomination, I hold so tightly to it that it actually keeps me from holding tight to God's word, that's a defiling thing. It's a defiling thing. It comes out of the heart. And Jesus is saying the problem doesn't start with the externals. The problem starts with the heart. With the heart. You say, Jess, this is really bad news. This is really bad news. Well, do you want the bad news first or the good news last? Here's the good news. Here's the good news. The work that God desires to do, guess where he desires to do it? At the heart level. The Lord Jesus is telling these people this because his great desire, his great hunger, what compels him is that he desires to do a work at the heart level to transform your heart, to change the object of your love, to change the object of your affections, to change the object of your desires, to change your heart, as Ezekiel says, to give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove a heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, a heart that feels, a heart that responds right, a heart that works right, a heart that is able to respond to the love of God. This is what God wants to do in us, not just when we first come to know him and we realize who Jesus is. This is a work that he wants to do in our lives every single day. Every single day, he wants to work in our hearts to make us more like him. More like his son Jesus. Transform our hearts so that when we see sin over here and we're enticed by that sin because our hearts have a desire for that sin, like a fish wants to bite at bait on a hook. When we see that sin over here, the Lord God, the Spirit of God in us is saying, no, but do you remember Jesus? Do you remember how much I've loved you? Do you remember how much I have cared for you? Do you remember how wonderful I am? And our hearts begin to say, Lord, I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. The Lord, even at the time of salvation, changes your hearts instantaneously. He gives you a new heart. But there's a process by which he continues to renew your heart, renew the inner person, so that you continue to want to walk with him. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit within you. It's a work of the Holy Spirit within you. It's transformative. He wants to change your heart. He says this, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. What Ezekiel is saying here is, I'm going to send my spirit to you. I'm going to renew your heart. I'm going to give you brand new desires. I'm going to transform you supernaturally in a way that only I can. And so that when you hear my word, when you listen to my voice, when you recognize my heart for you, you'll say, I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and I want to follow him. And Jesus says, that's how you work. That's how you work. From the heart outward. And the Lord loves to transform hearts. He's not an external physician. He's an internal physician. Internal medicine. He does the work from the heart out. This is important because we need to realize that as we walk and talk with one another, as we live in relationship with one another, as parents, as we walk and talk and speak with our children, we have to remember that we are heart-based beings. And for that little child to change their behavior, the externals, the fruit, for that little child to change, they're in need of the gracious work of the Holy Spirit and Christ in them, the hope of glory, to just change their little hearts. To see the glory of who he is. To want to walk with him. To want to delight in him. To want relationship with him. And then to continue on. And so we know why the psalmist can say, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me from where? The heart. Lead me in the way everlasting. Jesus wants to lead you in the way everlasting. Amen? Amen. That's how you work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. How amazing is your word as you explain to us, reveal to us how wonderful you are, how faithful you are, how good you are, how you've made us, how you've designed us, what went wrong, and yet what you've done to make all things right. For those who know you, for those who trust in your Son, Jesus, for those who have been renewed and given new hearts through your Holy Spirit by faith in your Son, Jesus, we are so thankful for the work that you do, for the salvation that you bring, for the faithfulness that you show us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, that you might renew us, bring us from darkness to light, and make us children of the day, your children, to walk with you, to walk with your Son Jesus, and to know you through your Spirit. Father, help us to remember that we are heart-based beings, and the level of work you want to do is at a heart level. And Father, we pray that you would do that. Do that in this place. And send us out as those who love you, love your Son, and want to share your love with others. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing hymn 170, Give Thanks.